May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have once again walked through the season of Lent and once again remember and relive this moment in salvation history when we come to the foot of the cross, the sign of our redemption, when we come to the hard reality of sin, when we come face to face with our own sin, when we come to the idea that things have not changed much through the ages, when we come to see ourselves through the persons in the Passion story, when we come to sin up close and personal, when we come to the prophets foretelling Jesus, when we come to the prophecy's fulfillment, when we come to Judas betraying, when we come to Peter's denying, when we come to the women's crying, when we come to the disciples fleeing, when we come to the foot of the cross. When Jesus calls people, He calls them to pick up their cross and follow Him. But not many will. Jesus calls people to come to the foot of the cross, but the disciples flee. It's Evelyn Underhill, a British writer, who writes in The Light of Christ that when we look at the world in the eyes of Jesus the sower, we see wasted effort and disappointing results. And yet Jesus continues, she says, without bitterness or reluctance, knowing all that, and He slogs steadily on. When the disciples come to the cross, they have forgotten the conditions under which they work. They are so far gone that at His death, at the end of Christ's passion, there is no mention of them save a reference to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Only the women remain, and even some of them are standing afar off. The disciples may say, "We do not like this, but we're not going to get involved." They may say, "He was too much in my face. And I don't like that. So He got what was coming to Him." He got what was coming to Him. He got what was coming to us. We may say, "I'm not going to go to the foot of the cross. I don't need any of that." Yet Jesus calls everyone to come to the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross is a difficult place. As we come closer to it, it's hard to raise our eyes. The first thing we will see as we fearfully look up is the feet of our Lord with a spike through them and a trace of blood running down. No wonder the disciples fled. What if this were to happen to them? No wonder few would come to the foot of the cross except to gloat and spit and yell. Today, even fewer know what a cross is. An international survey a couple years back found that only 54% of the international sample knew what a cross was. 88% knew what the golden arches were. The cross is not where you find your break today. The cross is not where you have it your way. The cross is a place where it is His way of sacrificing all. Come to the foot of the cross. Judas was called to come to the foot of the cross. He is one who is unpredictable. He tried so hard to be a disciple. He tried to give to the poor. He tried to listen. He did many good things in the name of the Lord. But when it was time to come to the foot of the cross, he sold out. He took the world and he took the world's kingdom and he left Jesus and he left the real kingdom behind. He couldn't come to the foot of the cross. He died in the field of blood. Even so, Jesus still calls us to come to the foot of the cross. And what an ugly place it is. As we gaze on the cross, we see the legs that carried Jesus throughout the land. We look upon the power and the motion of the chief healer of the world, and we see him powerless. We see the blood from the scourging and the whips. What kind of a king do we have? Judas saw no king until it was too late. The soldiers are standing at the foot of the cross, waiting for an inevitable death. They're at the foot of the cross, but they came totally unknowing, and they leave unknowing. We are called to come to the foot of the cross knowing. The disciples were called and found it difficult. This evening, we have an opportunity to come to the foot of the cross. Up here, and maybe some helpers will help, are little pieces of paper and our nails, and we will have a hammer. And if you so desire, you can write on that piece of paper, draw a picture, you can make an abbreviation, and come up and nail that sin to this cross, which you will be about to see. No one but you and God will know about them. You can abbreviate. Then you may come to the cross when it is here and nail them on the cross. These papers will become the new fire, as we call it, at the Easter vigil, from which we will light the Paschal candle for the first time. So, come to the foot of the cross. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, one of them at least, go, sell what you have and give to the poor. And the disciples' countenance fell. Jesus said how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And when he looked around, it felt mighty empty. Yet he still calls, come to the foot of the cross. And Peter, even Peter, one of the featured apostles, one of the top three, if you wish, who is it, Peter, James, and John? Even Peter cannot come to the foot of the cross. He denied Christ three times, even though Christ prayed against it. Even though Christ warned him, he could not come to the foot of the cross. It is so bleak at the foot of the cross. As we sit and gaze at our Lord's hands, brothers and sisters, those were hands that reached out only in love. Hands now spiked to a tree. Hands that in our world would be permanently disfigured if the prisoner were to live through the crucifixion because of the rampant staph infection. Hands are usually shriveled when they are nailed through. It's a difficult thought. Peter can't endure it. The other disciples can't endure it. They can't look at it. It's difficult. It's much easier to turn away. It's much easier to reject those hands. It's easier to run away and cry instead. Yet God still beckons, come to the foot of the cross. He asks us, God asks us to look at Jesus in the face, bleeding from the crown of thorns. He asks us to look in his eyes and be amazed. There is no hate. Still, only love. that love, which is so great, that God loved the world so much that it might not perish, but have everlasting life. Come to the foot of the cross. Indeed, there is power in the cross. There is power in the blood, as the hymn says, the old hymn. Don't know if you know it, but it's a great one. Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, but more up close and personal, He died for your sins. He died for my sins. In the Old Testament, we recall that the blood of the animals was to make atonement for the sin. But most of it was poured out. It was poured out because it represented life, and the life belongs only to God. So is Christ's blood poured out for us. It is our life, true life, eternal life. We receive this blood at Eucharist in glorious contrast to pouring it out in the Old Testament. But we must come to the foot of the cross to recognize the body and blood. This Holy Week, Christ bids us to come to the foot of the cross and stay there and wait. Watch these last few days with Him. Begin to nail your sins to the cross and claim your redemption. In this moment, the entire world changes.